I'm Alan Neal. This is All in a Day, and this is Mussolini's Letter to Hitler.
I'm writing again for a favor, although I feel sure it's no use. But now that Japan is your fall guy, dear Adolfo, please turn me loose.
There was no shortage of comic mockery of either leader in North America in the 1940s, in songs, skits, political cartoons, but the man who drew Hitler rolling down the hill in a giant snowball, being run over by a steamroller, or Mussolini being stuck in a trash can, gave up on his political cartoons and switched to stunning, colorful landscape paintings. We'll meet the son of Alan Silbert today. Now, it's been more than three decades since someone has mounted a major exhibition, Canadian artist Josh Silbert's work. But as of tonight, you got a new chance to see his work on walls. Today is the vernissage for a new exhibition at Cube Gallery, one that features about five dozen works by Silbert, an acclaimed cartoonist and painter who died in 1991. It's also the book launch of A Colorful Life, the art and drawing of Josh Silbert. Silbert's son, Alan, spent about 15 years curating the show, researching his father's art, and also his politics, and he's with me in studio. Hi there.
Hi.
It was interesting just when you look at the book and in the art that's going to be up there on the walls tonight. I think you could look at one wall and think and look at a second wall and think you were talking about two completely different artists just because of the range in the style of work that we're talking about. Political cartoons on one side and then these amazing colorful landscapes on the other.
Exactly. I mean, that's one of the interesting things about my father's life is that transition from what was a very political past to a very apolitical next stage of his life where he took on this new direction in his life to become a landscape painter.
And when he gave up political cartoons, was it cold turkey, so to speak?
Like it was cold turkey.
He didn't look back.
No, and I mean, the circumstances around it were quite dramatic. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a communist and a closet communist, in a sense, trying to do political cartooning for a mainstream newspaper. And it eventually popped out that that's where his political leanings were. And this is in the early Cold War days, and he got fired, basically. Mm. He had to absolutely stop at that point. He basically ran out of room for how to cartoon into a major newspaper and still hold a line that was publishable.
And what happened then?
Well, he basically retreated back to a private life. His early training as an artist was in Winnipeg under L. Fitzgerald, who was a late member of the Group of Seven. So he had this in his past. But it was another 10 years or so of still being committed politically till when the Stalinists, what was happening in Stalin and Russia started to come out at the after he died and Khrushchev take over, and there was kind of major outpouring of some of the real facts that were going on. And at that point, my father and many others of his cohort all took a very deep, soul-searching look. And the result was, a huge feeling of betrayal. And in my father's case, complete divorcing from political life and anything related to politics. And all his paintings from then on don't even have barely have a man-made object in them. Hmm. Just like, totally connected to the land.
So at that point, he said, I am definitely not communist. I just need to make a turn completely different, also artistically, though.
Exactly. And that's the interesting thing, because during his lifetime, he wouldn't tell that story. I mean, this was something that for him was an embarrassment. I mean, it cost him a job. It's not something he would be talking about in the 60s as he was becoming popular as a landscape artist. So he had this kind of dual identity, and the book and the show tie it all together. So, I mean, if you go to the Cube Gallery, you're going to see, a selection of political cartoons, sports cartoons, cartoons of Second World War events, but also post-war events. And they were all, it was after the war that things really started to get tough for him. There was a lot of labor unrest after the war, and he would be covering a lot of that. And where was he going to position himself? Even as a communist on the left, it was difficult because at that time, social democrat type movements were trying to reconcile, left-leaning political aspirations with the society they wanted to move forward with. Anyway, so that transition happened, and then he became this apolitical, totally focused on the land. Huh. And so what you see at the galleries, you're going to see this beautiful outpouring of creativity that happened once the release from the world of politics and current events happened for him.
Do you see elements of, just artistically, do you see elements of the early work in the later work?
Yeah.
It's easy enough for me to say, wow, these look totally different. But I just wonder, when you examine them carefully, as you're able to do it in an exhibit like that,
right,
do you notice that there are are elements of that artist in the later work?
What you notice is something that's not, I mean, you can see a similarity to the Group of Seven in the sense because my father's early training
sure.
and his definitely was very, very influenced. And like them, like at least the early members of the Group of Seven, he has this graphics design background. And so like Thompson and several others of the early, Thompson was pre-group, but that in kind of influences how he approaches a scene. So he doesn't just go there to record what he sees. He actually composes the scene. He'll move stuff around. He'll illustrate things in a way which boldly brings out certain subject areas, like a graphics designer would. So it's an indirect thing. I mean, it's not as if you're seeing the same kind of patterns at times of drawing style. I mean, the drawing style is completely different. The kind of paintings you'll see at the Cube are done with palette knife and heavy applications of oil paint, and the shapes are rugged and hard-edged, which is very different from the cartoon, and color is really what dominates in terms of setting mood, whereas the cartoon is all black and white. So in that sense, they're very, very different. But in terms of the composition, I think that kind of that graphics design informs a painter like my father.
When you have to put together an exhibit like this, or when you get to put together an exhibit like this, and the book as well, I just wonder how much of it is based on conversations with him about, because often with artists, we're in that position of guesswork as to motivations and without really knowing the stories behind it. Did he talk a lot about his politics, about his art?
Not at all. And when I came on the scene, his transition has more or less happened. And so the life that I grew up with an artist, not a political cartoonist. And so and we would occasionally ask him about his past or whatever, this or that. It wouldn't come out yet. I remember many days as a kid going down into his office, pulling out this stack of cartoons and looking through them. But it was really a solo kind of experience. It wasn't something we talked about much. Now, I did do a lot of interviewing in preparation for the book and tried to piece together a lot of this. This was after his death. And so really the people I was talking with were, friends and colleagues. My mother, who survived him and had a lot of stories to tell. I recorded a lot of those interviews. And in addition, a lot of research in the archives, the National Archives. And there was a couple of key theses that were written about the labor unrest and the post-war era, years, able to tie my father's presence as a communist in with the emerging labor movement and some of the things that were going on politically at that time.
What has that been like for you to learn about your father through other sources?
It's been really neat. You know, it's funny. I found it to be deeply satisfying to get to understand what was going on in his head, because you never see your parents that way, right? I'm seeing him as a young man. I'm seeing photographs of him, with my mother as a young couple, and there's a Stalin portrait in the background on the wall. I mean, all that context started to emerge for me to see this other individual and seeing the pressure that he was under trying to make a living as a cartoonist in this really strange, turbulent time. But I learned a lot, and it was very nice to sort of get that background around him.
Because he wanted to leave it behind, and because he wanted it – well, he wanted it hidden at the time for a different reason, but once he had decided he was not a communist and wanted to leave that behind, I wonder what you think he would make of it now being on – display.
Yeah. I think about it myself, and since it's a deeply satisfying thought, the fact that he's having a one-man show now, 35 years after probably his last one-man show, which would have been late 70s, for him, I think, would have been extremely satisfying. But the question of seeing it all together, like seeing the two things juxtapositioned like that, maybe he would never have been able to reconcile, because we look back now with all this perspective, you know, 50 years later from all this conflict, we don't see the Soviet Union in the way it was seen back then. We don't see the Cold War and the East-West conflicts like we do back then. Maybe he would have been able to, kind of step into this pleasant mode and see it as the development that it was. That part I will never know. But certainly when you get in that gallery and you look around and you see the color on these walls and the interpretation of a natural landscape, and then see a political cartoon over on the other side, I think there's a kind of a thrill to that, and I think he probably would have seen it the same way.
Alan Silbert, it's a fascinating book. I would imagine a fascinating exhibition. Thank you very much for coming in and sharing his story.
Thanks, Alan.
It's Alan Silbert, son of acclaimed Canadian painter and cartoonist Josh Silbert. He's the author of A Colorful Life, The Art and Drawing of Josh Silbert, and the book is being launched tonight at Cube Gallery, all part of a vernissage of a new show on Silbert's work, and that show runs at Cube Gallery until February 17th.